How to spend less money while enjoying everything more is something our next guest has been thinking a lot about. And she says you can save money and the world, actually, and inoculate yourself against many of the ills of modern life and enjoy everything more on both sensual and profound levels. Now, that's something we'd be interested in. The Art of Frugal Hedonism. The Art of Frugal Hedonism, A Guide to Spending Less While Enjoying Everything More. It's a new book by Annie Reza-Rowland and Adam Grubb that gives readers a toolkit to do just that. And Annie Reza-Rowland is talking to us from Melbourne. Hello, Annie.
Hi, how are you going?
Very good, thank you. Is this a self-help book? If you know what
you
I mean.
Possibly the hardest question you could ask. There was a point halfway through the book where we were starting to send it to publishers and they had to nominate what category it fell into, and I took a long, hard look in the mirror and realized that I was looking at someone who had written a self-help book. Yes, it is a self-help book, but there's, you know, not a lot of talk about chakras or about vision boards or anything like that. It's a lot more pragmatic and hopefully a lot funnier than most self-help books.
No, nicely put. So how much is it about having less materially, wanting possessions and gadgets and gizmos less?
It is very much about that, although it's equally about questioning where what you have does come from in terms of buying more things secondhand, sourcing them more ethically, which may sound like a really familiar catch cry at the moment, only that's not really the thrust of the book. The having less is a secondary theme within the book. More, we are trying to focus on enjoying things more that have very little to do with spending money, because there's no better way to make it feel easy and pleasurable to buy less than to be really good at finding pleasure in free things.
Right.
Because you don't live a horrible life of deprivation where you just have less because you don't have enough money or because you want to be ethical or because it feels like the right thing to do. You want to do it because it feels like this is a way of living lightly and pleasurably.
Pleasurably. So it's about focusing on what we spend our money on and how we live our life. And I hate to use the mindful word, which is so in vogue, but it's about being less mindless in our pursuit of everything, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. I mean, we're at a point in history where we have possibly gone into what I would call consumer overshoot. We've spent most of human history having to scrabble to have enough warmth, enough clothes, houses that are big enough to live in. And in this last century, we've hit a point where for the first time, lots of us are starting to suffer not from not having enough, but from having too much. And it seems preposterous to me and to my co-author Adam Grubb, and I'm sure to a lot of people listening, that we would suffer from the living being too good. The frequency with which you hear people these days saying like, oh, no, don't bring any food. We've got too much already if they're invited to dinner. Or, oh, God, no, please no more toys for the kids' birthday. Like, they've already got too many. Or, oh, God, I'd love to buy this, but my cupboard's so full, I just can't fit anything else in there. I should really have a clear out before I buy any more clothes. And we're actually hitting a point where we experience poorer health and stress from having too much stuff rather than not enough. And that seems like something worth inspecting and trying to tweak a bit. So we hop back into that zone, which I think of as the sweet spot, where we've still got a lot of modern conveniences and comforts, but we're not taking it to that level where we actually make ourselves unhappy with it.
Do we thrive on everyday adversity to an extent, or did we used to? And was it character building in a way that having enough money and filling up your house with all sorts of things you don't really need isn't?
That's a great question. I think there is a really strong streak in most of us that if we are too mollycoddled, starts to feel a bit lost in life, and that it's the ongoing process of having to maybe do something as simple as make a meal out of a cupboard that might look bare and make it tasty, or figure out how to fix something ourselves that has broken, or not having so much money that you can just buy everything you need, but that you have to talk to your neighbor and figure out something to swap with them.
Yeah.
Or just to even the small personal challenge of being a good enough citizen or a good enough neighbor and friendly enough that you feel comfortable asking to borrow a chainsaw from your neighbor when you need one, because you can't just hire someone to come do your chainsawing, perhaps, because you're not just spending that money as the solution to every situation in life. And I think there's a slight nostalgia that comes up when people are talking about their parents' generation, or even about how they had to make their own fun when they were kids, for times where we had to come up with solutions out of our own strength of character and our own ingenuity to deal with things rather than just being able to throw money at them. And I think that's because we kind of miss that self-reliance.
I'm sure a lot of people are clapping as you speak. The Art of Frugal Hedonism, A Guide to Spending Less While Enjoying Everything More. And the co-author is Annie Razor-Rowland, who's talking to us from Melbourne. Is this the way you live?
It is very much. And it's interesting. It makes a great story when you're writing a book to be able to say, oh, I was on this other path and then I took a long, hard look at my life at some point and went, oh, this won't do, I'm miserable, I need to overhaul everything. That's never been true for me. I was brought up very frugally, as was my co-author. And so to write the book, we had to almost reverse engineer what we do to be so frugal so successfully. The book more came out of the fact that we realized we had this freakish talent for living really cheaply and not even noticing we were doing it. It's not like we think about money at all. If anything, there's a beautiful liberty in being naturally quite materially conservative, because you don't have to think about money very much. You just kind of assume that you will never buy very many things, and money ceases to be much of an issue a lot of the time. I don't tend to ever go out recreationally shopping. It's the last thing that would occur to me to do. If I want to indulge myself in some way, my go-to would be to find somewhere beautiful to go lie and stare at the sky and daydream, or talk to a friend endlessly over a cup of tea on a rainy afternoon sitting on their front porch. Those to me are real indulgences. Or to say that I'm going to stay up half the night reading this terrible detective novel that I'm completely engrossed in, but that's free. And it's an indulgence that doesn't come back to bite me later in terms of health or in terms of my bank balance. There are levels of living frugally that I have had to intentionally practice and get better at, and lots of those things are to do with making really good human connections. Those are the parts that you do have to, in a society where that's not the way we work as much any longer, where you have to think about how to make this functional, and you have to develop good social credit. You have to be a good citizen.
My final question, because in a sense you were predisposed this way. You're wired for it. You're a horticulturalist and an artist, and your co-author has similar affections. He runs a permaculture design and education business. So although you are wired for it and predisposed to like this way of living, what's interesting about your book is that you give the rest of us who are maybe more driven to amass that money for whatever reason, you give us a kind of halfway house, don't you? You give us various solutions.
That was a really clear goal we had in writing the book, because we recognised that not everyone wants to live an incredibly frugal life, but there's a lot of transferable habits that we and the myriads of fabulous people we interviewed from the book, from different ages and cultures and backgrounds, all seem to have in common about how we lived cheaply and happily. And so we really wanted it to be applicable to all sorts of people, whether you're an investment banker, there's things you could take home from this book. If you're earning millions, you could still benefit from some of the stuff that is focused on just enjoying what you do have more and not ignoring the huge spectrum of non-monetary pleasures that there are, because the book is basically about pleasure and enjoying yourself more. First and foremost, the sort of ecological and monetary benefits of that are happy side effects of that enjoying yourself.
We all like happy side effects. Thank you for the book and thank you for the interview. The Art of Frugal Hedonism, A Guide to Spending Less While Enjoying Everything More. Annie Razor-Rolland has written it with Adam Grubb. Very good of you to give us your time, and good luck with the book, Annie.
Thanks for talking to me.